The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in. We appreciate it. We're very grateful. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, producer number nine, so much more than a producer.
Sup?
Well, Kelly Bidlin, we took care of that Max Homer, didn't we? We get tweets of people. By the way, Mike Somich coming up on the show. Yeah. Never mentioned that. Somo bombing later. Mike Somich has, can I just go through this for a second? Mike Somich coming up has plays in the following sporting events. Hockey times three, baseball times two, NBA series prices type times two, and then he's got a thought about something else in the NBA as well, among other things.
I like it.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Torch D. Torch D, I think my gambling career peaked this weekend when I cashed Max Holloway to win by KO ticket. If you did not watch the end of that fight, you have to take a look. Jason H. 11, another great Masters tournament. The bunched leaderboard till the back nine allowed me to load up on Scotty to make a small profit. Not enough for sushi, though. Evan and Bessie, who needs to see it live when you have Kelly retelling it? Feels like I lived it twice and couldn't be more fired up.
It was so awesome.
Nice
it was
job.
So awesome.
Nice job, Kelly. Matthew Mayberry, one of my top five biggest returns of all time. Two Scotty Scheffler tickets with stolen base props. One comes in at plus 45,
boom.
29, another at plus 29, 75. So 45 to 1 and 29 to 1, plus on both. What a day. Nice job. Trip Tepper, recent example of a golfer winning at a high level, Phil Mickelson. He's won 45 tournaments and six majors in the Tiger era, which makes those numbers very impressive. Scotty is great, but let's see how many majors he collects before age 30. Trip, no question about that. I'm just talking about a very confined stretch of time. We will see if Scheffler's majors catches up with how great he is, because right now he's at two. I would expect far more. Let's see here. And we'll go through more tweets in a little bit. Well, let's do this one more here. What do we got here? Okay. Let's talk NBA. Western Conference, beginning with play-ins.
Yes.
Play-in, again, for those who are unfamiliar, 7 plays 8. This is at each conference. 7 plays 8, 9 plays 10. The winner of the 7-8, it's Western Conference tomorrow night. It's Eastern Conference on Wednesday night. The winner of the 7-8 becomes the 7th seed and is in the playoffs. The loser of the 7-8 will take on the winner of the 9-10, and the winner of that subsequent game will be the 8th seed in each conference's playoff seeding. So, now, it's one thing to talk East. It's an entirely different thing to talk West.
Ooh,
beginning with the play-ins tomorrow night. So you have the Lakers and the Pels. Lakers and the Pelicans in the 7-8, where the Pelicans are favored by a point, total at 225. And then in the 9-10, you have the Kings and the Warriors, where the Warriors, the Dubs, are favored by 2.5. On the road, by the way.
Yeah, Lakers were a bet for me yesterday. Thought that was that number was a couple points off. Adjusted back. They were catching. I bet it at 3.5. I think it closed at like 2. At that point, it opened like 4 or something like that. That was a few points off to me, so I bet it. This would be the number I think this should be with Pelicans laying 1. So I'll probably stay away, Gil, but it would still be a Lakers lean for me in this game. I love this Pelicans team, but they're so matchup dependent when it comes to what Zion can do. And I think this is not a great matchup for them with LeBron and AD out there. So I got nothing on this. Would be lean Lakers.
Okay.
Warriors.
Yes.
Back your boys.
There you go.
My Warriors grabbed that on the opener. Dustin and I were on the air yesterday. We were talking about that at the end of the show. That's moved 2.5 points. They were. I think it opened a pick'em, or maybe even Kings won. I grabbed it at Golden State last night. I laid money line minus 120, out to 2.5 now. I gotta like him. So I know Steph didn't play yesterday. Not a concern. Not a concern for this game tomorrow night, though. But Sacramento Kings, no Herder still for them. It's just this is tough. It feels like they are kind of stumbling down the stretch out of the playoffs.
Okay, here. I have two questions. One, first of all, well, one is not even a question. One is just me thinking out loud. How unbelievably awesome would a 1-8 between the Thunder and the Warriors be? The Youngs versus the Olds.
Good. Yes.
And I'm going to tell you right now, I want to see what the price on the Olds is, because that should be fascinating to see what that series price will be.
Oh, I don't think you're going to get anything good on the
Warriors. No,
like,
nothing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like the Thunder will be favored, but
not by as much as I want them to be.
Yeah.
Okay. People know about the Warriors, is what you're telling me? They're aware of the Warriors?
Right, okay. People are aware.
I'm just curious. I thought I'd sneak them in. Okay, here's the other thing, and I bring this up sheepishly because I don't buy into it at all, but someone brought it up, and I won't even say who because I don't think he'd want me to be – I don't think he'd necessarily want to be associated with this random thought. But speaking of, like, we were talking about seeding on the last day of the NBA season. Because this is not like the East, right? The East has the Celtics one and a clear one. What ended up happening on the last day of the regular season was that OKC ended up with one seed. Yeah, I can see you smiling. You know where I'm going.
Yeah.
So someone threw out, okay, if you're the Lakers, do you tank the 7-8 game and then win, then obviously try to win the second game so that you can match up with OKC as opposed to winning the 7-8 and ending up with Denver, who you got housed by last year in the postseason? Now, obviously, my response to that was, you got to be kidding me, because the Warriors can crush you in the next game. If it's the Warriors, you never know if you'll even make the playoffs. But it was worth mentioning because I thought it was a pretty hilarious sort of thing to...
I feel like people that bring this up, by the way, because I heard this from several national media people.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Like, this has been... I saw it on ESPN this morning. I feel like some people that are so gambling adverse, like, then bring this kind of stuff up, right? Like, should you lose this? It's like, no, what are you talking
what are you
about?
Talking
like, you
about?
Gotta just make sure you get in the playoffs. Playoffs.
But I do, think
it's worth bringing up.
It's worth bringing up because OKC being one, because here's, we always knew this was coming, right? We said it multiple times during the regular season. Because of the nature, like, oh, they're playing so well. But once the playoffs begin, everybody's brain is going to toggle into, oh, they're still babies. And you don't win in the NBA in the postseason that easily. You just don't.
Yeah.
And so teams like the Lakers, teams like the Warriors, better example than both of those, teams like the Suns, which we'll get to here momentarily, right? They're going to get much more benefit of the doubt in most people's minds heading into this than the casuals will give OKC.
I have a feeling I will be going down with the Thunder.
Yeah, I think you will too.
there are.
By the way, I agree with you. You will.
Don't get me wrong. There are a couple matchups I'll be staying away from, but man, I was praying. I mean, I know Drew's brought it up a couple times too. I was praying for OKC Phoenix. I think the Thunder would rip them apart.
That was the one we were talking about all the time in the regular season.
Yeah, I think they would rip them apart. The Lakers are going to be a tougher matchup. If that's a matchup, don't get me wrong, that will be bad because of the size. Inexperience in the size, right? It is, you are relying on Chet Holmgren so much inside. But you know what? This is where nobody wants to talk about the other side, right? It's, okay, what are the problems for OKC? Who's stopping Shai Gilgeous-Alexander on the Lakers?
Yeah.
That's what I wanted.
Yeah. Okay, here are the two series that are intact right now in the West. And it did end up with Phoenix getting the sixth seed. And let me just say this, because we didn't mention this earlier. The number of places, the percentage of media outlets that got NBA playoff scenarios wrong was unbelievable. And I'm talking about even when I came on here Wednesday. Remember, Kelly and I do a good job of going back to our shows or our segments, and we know when we've botched one. And I remember when we were talking about our first segments last week, the worst one, and I even stopped it in the middle. Remember, I was like, I'm sick of hearing myself, right, going through the playoff scenarios.
Yeah.
Those were somewhat wrong, too. Like after the show, I'm like, that wasn't right. Up until yesterday, some of these Yahoo had Phoenix as a play-in. I'm like, that's not true. So anyway, Phoenix ends up with a six.
It was incredibly complicated, but still, it was amazing how much
if you're
was
going
off.
To publish
yes.
something, yes. be right about it. Minnesota ends up third of the 1-2-3 between OKC and Denver and Minnesota. They end up three. They're hosting the Phoenix Suns in a 3-6. Minnesota and Phoenix is about as coin flippy as it gets, with Phoenix a tick of a favorite at DraftKings at -115, harkening back to what I was talking about, how you know, guys like KD and Devin Booker and Bradley Beal are going to get the benefit of the postseason doubt.
Yeah.
So the third-seeded T-Wolves, who inhabited the number one seed for much of this NBA season, are a dog, at least for the moment, in the 3-6.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think if you're the Suns and you had to, I told you were going to be playing one of the top three teams in the West, this is the team that you want. This is Timberwolves, they allow, this is a very, very interesting battle of contrasting styles. Timberwolves defense allow a lot of mid-range shots. That's where the Suns live in offensively. flip it around, right? This is a Minnesota team that's going to look to beat you down at the rim and at three, and that puts a lot of pressure on Nurkic then for the Suns to stay out of foul trouble, to be effective defensively. You brought up the word. It's coin flippy for me. So I did make bets in this one, but I think if you find over 5.5 games, compare prices, shop around, over 5.5 games is where I'd go. I actually bet exactly what we're looking at on this graphic, though. I bet the total games at 6 and 7, a little bit better numbers than what's posted now. But that's just a whole math thing, right? What makes more sense, over 5.5 or betting something like that?
Either way, you don't think it's going to be quick.
I don't think it's quick. If it is quick, Gil, it's Minnesota for me. It's Phoenix can't handle the size of Minnesota. They're having bad shooting nights, whatever. It would be Minnesota rolling past Phoenix, not the other way around for me. But I do expect this to go 6 or 7 games.
And then the 4 or 5 is the Mavericks and the Clippers. Not quite as coin flippy, but boy, you get a lot of opinions on this series as well. The Mavericks are the 4 seed. They've got home court. What do you like here?
This is my favorite series, my favorite betting series of the first round. I bet the Mavericks as soon as this opens. So I got +110 on that. That's kind of moved around now. We're seeing about a coin flip on this one. I think it's about -110 both ways at most places. I love Mavericks. Obviously, Kawhi Leonard status up in the air. That has a lot to do with this. I do expect that he will be back at some point in this series. Mavericks are on fire right now. I don't know how you get in front of this team. I'm not. I'm betting on them.
Oh, okay. So even more of a coin flip as it turns out as we do this right at this moment, just after 8 a.m. Pacific on Monday morning. Straw poll, NBA awards next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, Kelly Billen, you check out the VSiN.com website today?
What's up there, Kill?
Mid-season college baseball odds and futures from Aaron Moore.
Nice.
Oh, I made a college baseball future bet also.
Ooh.
I bet FSU at 35-1.
Well,
just want to point
that out.
Gonna
have to auto-tail that one.
Glossary of MLB stats to know for the 2024 season from the great Adam Burke, Mike Somich on his NHL and NBA playoff betting strategies, all of that and so much more at VSiN.com. Lombardi talking about drafting quarterbacks. What will the Giants do at quarterback? Whole bunch of stuff again. The new revamped VSiN.com best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, betting tools, betting guides. It's all there at VSiN.com. Okay. You and Dustin Sweetelson. You do a little program here on Sundays on the network, and you guys sent out a email to various VSiN folk. You guys wanted to take a NBA awards straw poll.
That's right.
Just a little, an unscientific survey.
Yeah, just see where the betters' minds at, you know, and the people that write and host on this network that have talked so much about it.
Because NBA awards, the actual results will be rolled out throughout the postseason, throughout the playoffs. That's how they do it. They do like one a night, as opposed to baseball, which does it, damn near Thanksgiving.
Right.
Football does it all on one night before the Super Bowl. Basketball, one a night, starting like in the first round, I believe.
Yeah, it will be like a few games into the first round.
Okay.
Yeah. So unscientific. Let me preface with this. Unscientific that there might have been some missed awards sent in, some ones that were perhaps made up a little bit, like created their own awards.
Who created their own awards?
So there's, I'm not going to drop names, but we had a total of 10 people participate, so I appreciate everybody's participation.
I participated.
You did, that's right. If you want to go over the MVP results, I went 1 through 5 for everybody with the MVP. And then we asked for the winner of every other award. So if we start with MVP, no surprise, Nikola Jokic, 8 first-place votes, 2 second-place votes. I think my total points were added correctly. That's probably something I would double-check, too, if I were
I would love for SGA to win this award in real life, because I do have a bet on him.
Shout out Zach Cohen, who was like, I'm dying on the hill, and I'm putting him number one anyways.
But I voted Nikola Jokic. And again,
me too.
If you just did counting stats, 5th in total points, 2nd in total assists, 2nd in total rebounds. Then you go, first total plus minus, 69.8 true shooting percentage in crunch time, league leading on-off point differential. I mean, any way you slice it, it's Jokic.
Dude's good.
If Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had kept scoring 30 a night throughout, I would have said Shai, but he stopped doing that.
Well, and Luka became a thing too. I'm not going to say that's not true because he was incredible post All-Star break as well. I mean, that was really different. Post All-Star break, Luka and Jokic were both amazing. Shea took a little bit of a step back.
Yeah.
Those were the closing odds on Friday.
So any random odds. Votes in there for MVP that we got there?
Well, there's some that are interesting to break down. You and I were the two votes for second place on Shea. So really take away a numbers game and Zach Cohen, not as much love for Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. It was really? Definitely Jokic, Doncic, and then Jalen Brunson getting a whole lot of love on here.
I was one of the two who had DeMontis Sabonis fifth.
Oh, that was me too. I actually think you and I ended up having the exact same five.
Really?
Yeah.
And we did not consult.
No, we did not. Asked you on Saturday.
Who had him third, you know?
I believe that was Adam Burke. I believe.
For those who are like, why are you guys... DeMontis Sabonis, I don't know. We didn't really talk about this enough.
I did it out of principle, though.
I did it out of principle. Yeah. Since December 2nd, he's played 64 games. He has a double-double in 62 of them. And they're not just barely double-doubles. Like, he's clearing the threshold every night. It's incredible consistency.
Yeah, I mean, the longest streak since the merger.
It's incredible. Now, I didn't vote him first, but fifth, sure.
Yeah, I threw him a fifth place vote just to show him some love. But yeah, no surprise here. I think Giannis deserved a little bit more love on here. But I was one of the fourth place votes, and so were you because I think we had all the same.
I'm glad that Jason Tatum barely got any love.
Yeah, he didn't get much. I think the Brunson loves a little too much, but I at least understand that more than Tatum.
Yeah.
So, all right, if we keep moving down then to the other awards where I think this was fascinating and some of these were really interesting. Most improved player.
It's your straw poll. You drive, baby.
Tyrese Maxey, four votes for him, okay? Jalen Williams, second with two votes.
I thought about Jalen Williams.
Jonathan Kuminga, one.
Wow.
Kobe White, only one vote.
I went Maxey here.
Me too.
I wanted to go Jalen Williams because I think there's reasons. There's absolute reasons to have Jalen Williams as most improved. But in the end, Kelly, I go back to what we used to say about most improved before last year. That's exactly what that was your reasoning too.
Yeah, because I'll stand by that every year, Gil.
Yes.
I might be wrong. Last year it cost me money.
That's right.
This year it might cost me money too.
Before last year, before Lauri Markkanen won with the Bulls, we always said about most improved, you can't come from oblivion to being good. It historically is always someone who people are aware of who becomes great. And Tyrese Maxey is that guy, scoring average from 20.3 to 25.9. He had 50 on three separate occasions, nearly doubled his assist rate, and had one of the lowest turnover rates in the NBA. For me, it's Maxey.
Yep. Me too. I understand the Kobe White love. I'm a little scared of it, especially from what we saw last year, because his is very much the Lauri Markkanen case. It just annoys me because it's kind of like the, NFL comeback player of the year. It's the Ryan Tannehill case, which just drives me nuts, where it's like, okay, you sucked, and now you're back to being okay. So we're going to give you an award for improving. I don't really get that.
I just caught a glimpse of one of the awards coming up, and I'm just destroyed right now. I cannot believe this.
All right,
where are you going?
Sixth man of the year.
Uh-huh.
Which, I mean, from a betting standpoint, maybe the most fascinating because we couldn't believe the odds backed up a little bit on this on Friday. Naz Reid coming in with eight votes. Eight. Norm Powell won. Malik Monk won.
Well, that says six.
Six, sorry.
Yeah, that's all right.
Six votes.
That's all right. Didn't mean to tamper your enthusiasm.
Still though, I mean, that's an overwhelming number of the people here at Visa giving Naz Reid sixth man of the year. He ended up with my vote there as well. I'm not the Norm Powell. I believe that was JVT dying on the Norm Powell hill, which, I mean, I think he would be very deserving. It'd be interesting to see how that one shakes out.
Is it possible that this is the one that people had the least conviction about but ended up with the most votes? Because I felt that way about this. I went Reid just under 25 minutes a game, 13.4. points, 5.3 boards, hitting over 40% from three-point land. Is that right as well?
Yep. Yeah, him and Norm Powell both over 40%.
Got a great crossover, by the way, if you ever watch his games, and he's huge. Okay.
Yeah, if you want to go the boring counting stats, Malik Monk and Bobby Portis are probably the two guys that should really be at the top of this.
Naz Reid, Norm Powell, their efficiency, what they did from three-point range, how much they matter to each one of these teams, it should be one of those two to me. I'm going to save the best for last. Coach of the year next. Dags taking away 8 votes from the VSiN staff for him. I think it was JVT giving Jamal Mosley some love. I appreciate that because I definitely think he belongs right there in that conversation. And then the one everybody's waiting for, defensive player of the year, Rudy Gobert 5, Victor Wembanyama 4.
What are we doing? First of all, Coach of the Year, can I just say this?
Yeah.
You can talk yourself and anybody else, but Dagnall's 55-plus wins on the second youngest team in the league. If you're not getting it, then when are you getting
exactly.
it?
Exactly. Like, there's other good Kate. Like, Jamal Mosley's a great story. Number one seed in the Western Conference. You got to give it to Dags.
All right. Rudy Gobert 5, Victor Wembanyama 4.
Like, are you really mad at this?
I want names.
Like, you're mad at this.
I want names.
You have 10-1 tickets. It was basically split here on staff.
No, I know. I'm just saying, I'm surprised that the VSiN staff would have favored Gobert, period, in any fashion. I would have expected this from a mainstream media voting crowd. But Wembanyama, total blocks, blocks per game, block rate. I mean, what haven't we talked about here? Oh, here's one. Okay, here's something we haven't talked about. This is great. This is from, I want to get this, I want to give credit. So I don't have it right now, but I will give credit to the person who came up with this. The percentage of shots at the rim he contested when on the floor was only 41.4%. By contrast, Chet Holmgren, 57.2% by the rim, Gobert about 50%. So what does that mean? What that means, while he has total blocks, blocks per game, and block rate leads by significant margins, while blocking them at the rim at significantly lower rates than those other two guys, means that he lapped the field without functioning on a defense that always put him in the best position, that always put him in the best position to lap the field, on a defense that did not put him in the best position to lap the field. So he's basically doing it all over the court, in other words.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's different from just hanging out at 7'5" or however tall he is, hanging out at the rim. He's all over the place.
Well, but that kind of goes back to there's a team identity with Minnesota and San Antonio. He's literally the only guy doing anything.
And the biggest thing is that Gobert is surrounded by nothing but great defensive teammates, whereas with Wembanyama, when he's off the court, they're 22nd. Or overall, they're 22nd in defensive rating. With him on the court, they've performed like a top 5 unit, an improvement of 7.3 points per 100 possession. No player's logged 1,000 minutes has had a more positive impact on their team's defensive rating. He's the defensive player of the year.
Let's
stop it.
I hope so. Thank you to all who participated.
Mike Somich is next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
For a limited time, we're offering 2 weeks of our exclusive betting splits for free. Just sign up at VSiN.com/splits. The VSiN betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Take advantage of this limited time offer. It is almost over. Visit VSiN.com/splits now to claim your free 2-week access to VSiN's betting splits. Don't strike out on potential winnings. Visit VSiN.com/splits. Start making smarter bets today. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Barcanada, the barrage here at the D. Earlier, we were talking about the Gagey Holloway ending and how folks who had Holloway by TKO, Holloway by decision, what a bad beat it was for them. There's Kelly. Look at Kelly. That's Kelly imitating Holloway for those who missed it. That's very good. I'm sure Max Holloway's like, wow, I should really have better technique.
Oh, yeah. Watch the highlight. It's exactly what it looks like.
And so we were thinking about, you know, what are the comps of that? Steve Fezzik chimes in. He says, and this is a great example, Julio Cesar Chavez and Meldrick Taylor back in the day. For those of us of a certain age, we remember this well. He tells a story. Poker great Stu Unger bet his last $100,000 on yes, fight will go the distance. In the last round with 12 seconds left, Taylor gets knocked down.
What?
He somehow got himself up with 3 seconds left, but the ref called the fight with 2 seconds left. Bad beat in boxing, comp to the UFC fight. I remember it very well. Taylor was, you know, his eyes were almost shut, but the fight was almost over and the ref wouldn't let it go to the end. They called it right before the end. I would even say, for those also a little more obscure, when Sugar Ray Leonard won his first title, he did it against Wilfredo Benitez. It was a 15-round fight, if I remember correctly. And with 6 seconds left, he stopped Wilfredo Benitez, as I recall. So, I mean, there was a couple of these in boxing, too, where people are like, what? You stopping the fight? Just let it go.
That was incredible. Yeah. I was. It was one of those where I jumped off the couch. I couldn't calm down for like 30 minutes. Like, it was, yeah. Thank God, like, the rest of the card wasn't all that exciting.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you like Somo Bombs, you've come to the right place. Mike Somich, co-host of The Handle, joins us, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, Somo Bomb. Thank you very much.
What's up, boys? Locked and loaded today. It's a great sports morning.
It is a great sports morning. I'm watching a little Red Sox Guardians from a sunny Fenway Park. You know, I once attended a Patriots Day game, Kelly. Do you know this? April 1990. Milwaukee Brewers 18, Boston Red Sox nothing.
Well, you're at Tufts?
Yes, correct. Shout out Jumbos.
It's like we know each other.
Shout out Jumbos.
It's like we've worked together
yes,
for a
indeed.
While.
Yes, indeed. I was at Patriots 18-0 Brew Crew. It's awesome.
Wow.
They were not happy. Hey, Mike, before we get into all your thoughts on all these different sports, a little birdie told me by the name of Chris Felica that you had a great weekend at Gulfstream.
It was a phenomenal weekend at Gulfstream. Yeah, we hit the early pick four, early pick five on Saturday for about $3,200. So that was nice, and had a couple winners on Saturday over at Keeneland as well. So over on The Handle, we're doing a Pucks and Ponies segment, talk about the horses every day, and had a nice little 3-1 winner and 10-1 cold exacta in the Lexington Stakes on Saturday. So it was a good day at the track.
This guy. Wow. Good for you, man. If you, I asked this of Felica before, but if you had only one sport to bet for the rest of your life, would yours be horse racing?
Oh, man, that would be tough. It would probably be horse racing. I think that's where my biggest edge is, just because of the depth of knowledge I have inside the sport. But it'd be hard not to be able to bet the NFL again. That's a tough one.
Sorry. The answer is only one sport.
It's horse racing. It's horse racing.
Okay, and you also had, before we're going to start with, because Mike got baseball, basketball, and hockey, but Kelly and I were just talking about Kelly and Dustin's straw poll from this weekend, and you brought up something interesting, because I was like, Gobert still beat Wembanyama, even among VSiN hosts, and you said...
Well, it's tough when you take these straw polls, because you want to be right, you want to pick the person who's going to win. And I feel like it is going to be Gobert to win. So I'm not surprised you saw some of those Gobert votes. Now, Kelly worded it correctly, saying that you should pick the person that you would vote for. But at the same time, I think subconsciously, some people might have put down Gobert because they expect him to win the award. I would have voted for Wembanyama. I was too lazy to fill out the poll. Sorry about that, Kelly. Sorry, Dustin. But I would have voted for Wembanyama because I think he should win the award. I don't think he's going to win the award, though. I think that's going to go to Gobert.
I'm laughing because when we were off air, I was like, yeah,
nice
Kelly, maybe it was a pollster error. And I know when Kelly goes from being jovial to serious, he does this to me. He goes, wait a minute, Gil. He throws out his hand like this.
Well, Mike up whether my verbiage in the email was asking for whether it's your opinion or what your opinion on who should win or your opinion on who will win.
Yeah.
Here's
your wording. Yeah. On Sunday, Dustin and I are going to run through NBA awards, and we thought a little VSiN straw poll would be cool to do on Live Bet Sunday. Completely understand some of you might not be interested, but if you are, sometime this weekend, send over to me your MVP 1-5 winner for all the other awards.
I don't really know.
I don't know.
Now I'm going to say, you know what? Mike's right. It's ambiguous enough that I should have been clear.
Wait, the Somich segment should just be Somich poking holes in other things we do. Let's do that. Mike Somich.
You know, I catch some flack from the Sharp Money guys, too, when I yes and them, or I jump in and tell them there's something going on.
He's Somo bombing us now, for God's sakes. All right, well, since we brought up baseball and Patriots Day, let's start with your baseball plays today. What do you got?
Yeah, we got a couple from the diamond here. We're going to take the Yankees -105. They are taking on they're taking on the Blue Jays today. And this is a spot where this Yankees team, I've been really impressed with them. I think the Juan Soto acquisition has been everything and more that they've been asking for. And the Blue Jays, on the other hand, they've just been playing some middling baseball. They have not been hitting the ball as well as I expected they would this year. You haven't really seen Bichette get going. Guerrero hasn't really gotten going. And right now, with the price here, I just don't agree that the Toronto should be a short favorite in this game. So I'm happy to lay the short price here, -105. Now it looks like it's -108 on the Yankees today with Gil on the hill.
All right. And Gil on the hill. And you also are taking a team that is a dog, but has been playing some good baseball in the National League Central.
I love this Reds team. I had them last year 40-1 to win the division. That fell a little bit short, but they just look like they enjoy playing baseball. And that's a huge part of baseball. It's a grind to go through 162 days of games. And when you have a team that really likes each other, really likes playing baseball, you see those results and you see it on the field. Today, they're a dog to the Mariners. I'm not really sure why. This Mariners team has not played well out of the gate. they have not been hitting the baseball. They've not been pitching nearly as well. This rotation, which I thought was going to be one of the better ones in the AL, is middling to bad right now, and that's just not a good combination. I got the Reds in at plus 130. We're seeing plus 124 right now. I would still play them here. I think there's value all the way down to about plus 115. So give me the Reds to keep it going today.
Yeah, NL Central, with apologies to the AL East, because that obviously no team is below 500 in the AL East here in the early going. But besides the Cardinals at 7-9, the NL Central, Milwaukee 10-4, Pirates 11-5, Reds 9-6, and the Cubbies 9-6 as well. So good start for teams in that division. Real early, though, obviously. I know you have a lot of basketball, so let's talk about your hockey plays. The final 4 days of the NHL regular season, and you've got a bunch of thoughts today.
I do. It's a huge day in the Eastern Conference. We've got a lot of the teams who are going to be competing for the final playoff spot, trying to get points. And I'm going to play against a couple of them. You've got the Bruins going in to take on the Capitals today. And I'm going to lay the goal and a half with the Bruins. You can catch plus 165 in this game right now. I laid the goal and a half with the Bruins taking on the Penguins on Saturday. One of the big reasons I like to lay the goal and a half against these playoff teams is when you see the goalie pulled. We saw, you know, the Wild pulled their goalie with 9 minutes left in one game earlier this week. We saw Pittsburgh pull their goalie with over 4 minutes left in that game against the Bruins. You got the Capitals in a similar situation. They need every point they can get, but this Bruins team is a absolute truck, and they still need to win these games. They're competing with the number one seed in the East and the division with the Florida Panthers. They're only 1 point behind them. There's two games left in the season. Every point matters for the Bruins as well. I think they go in, take care of business against the Caps. Let's lay the puck line here. -1.5, plus 170 in this spot. And then another team that's competing for that playoff spot is the Penguins. Well, they're taking on the Predators, and the Predators are my darling of the NHL right now. I've enjoyed betting them their last 22 games or so, and they've been consistently able to win by multiple goals. They're a dog today right now, plus 110 against the Penguins. I'm going to take them at a bigger price here. Let's go the Predators to win in regulation. You can get that one at plus 170 over the Penguins. Again, the Penguins are going to be aggressive if this game is tied late. They're going to pinch their defensemen, give up opportunities for the Predators to be able to score on the other end because they need those 2 points. So let's take Predators plus 170 in regulation. And then the last hockey game of the day, let's go to the Western Conference. The Los Angeles Kings are battling with the Vegas Golden Knights right now for who gets to avoid being the 8 seed in the conference and have to play the Stars, who are the best team in the West. Let's lay the goal and a half with the Kings. They're taking on the Wild. The Wild eliminated from playoff contention today. The Kings need this game like the blood so that they avoid taking on Dallas. So let's lay the goal and a half with the Kings plus 154.
Okay, we have a minute here before the break, and we can get your betting thoughts on the NBA playoffs here momentarily. Let's do 60 seconds of sports talk radio, Kelly. Bring you in for this. Who has the most pressure in the NBA playoffs? I will give you 4 choices. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
The Clippers trio of stars, Kawhi, Harden, playoff Paul, KD, Kevin Durant, Doc Rivers. Oh, that's a tough one to beat. Or just the Boston Celtics, period.
Boston Celtics, without a doubt.
Oh, I think it's Doc. This Milwaukee team has been so bad, and the expectations were so high. At least Boston performed to expectations in the regular season. But honestly, Boston and Milwaukee, they're going to be defined by what they do in the playoffs here.
That's a tough one between the Celtics and Doc.
You got to win. You got to win a championship for this Boston team. Yeah, you got to win the East. You have to win the East. This season is a failure if you don't win the Eastern Conference, at minimum.
And Doc, even if Doc like wins, you know, comes out okay, it's like he's still Doc. Right?
Still Doc.
He's still Doc. All right, Mike's actual betting thoughts on the NBA playoffs on the other side. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code VSIN. New customers bet $5, get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code VSIN, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gil Alexander, we get tweets. Jamie Leva, Samo bomb incoming. Have a great day, gentlemen. You too, Jamie. Scott, New York Mets 16. How much would the T-Wolves Team D drop off if you replace Gobert with Hartenstein or Gafford? Great point. None at all. Well, maybe a little bit, but none significantly, like in the case of Wembanyama leaving a game. You get the idea. By the way, there's a couple things I'm annoyed at. Can I give you a couple of grievances? One.
Air your grievances.
Yeah. By the way, we used to have the airing of grievances with Todd Wishner here. I was saying I want names about the Gobert thing. I just want the reasoning. Beyond, oh, they're the best defensive team. I'd like a better reason than that. And then two, I brought up the Doc Rivers thing earlier. The Bucks were 30-13 with Adrian Griffin as their head coach. By the way, they're 17-19 with Doc. When Adrian Griffin got fired, I sat here and I asked, what's the explanation for this? And most people gave some vague, well, you know, yeah, they're 30-13, but they know that they could be so much better if it was a different coach. And I just remember thinking, I was like, that's a nonsense explanation. That's a nonsense explanation. And we were just talking with Mike Somich off air. And Somich, you're like, you were saying that, you know, the inmates are running the asylum kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, look, he was fired because the players didn't like him. They didn't believe in his defensive philosophy, and that's the reason he had to go, even at 30-13. And it's interesting, we see Doc Rivers come in. Defense hasn't gotten any better. This is an effort issue on the player's side, and you just don't have nearly as good of a defender as when you get rid of people like Jrue Holiday in the offseason. So the defense is going to slip. And the players just stopped believing in him. The most telling thing to me was the first game after he's fired, you see them all dancing on the court before the game, having a good time. It felt like they were playing or they were acting more free than they were under Griffin. So you kind of saw it coming, but look, these guys are great basketball players. That doesn't make them great front office guys. We've seen it with LeBron in certain situations. It feels like we saw it a little bit with Giannis this year. Look, you can't have the players making the decisions on coaching staff, on roster, on things like that. You want to include them, but they can't be the ones making those decisions.
You're right. It's kind of a tried and true NBA tradition. I guess it worked out for the Lakers in the early 80s when Magic and company got Paul Westhead fired and Pat Riley came in. But that's a one-off, right? Like, it just doesn't – it's not supposed to work that way. And it certainly, just to this moment, hasn't worked that way. And we're talking about with Doc, you know, we're talking about who has the most pressure, the Celtics as a team or Doc Rivers as a coach. The thing with Doc is, you were right. You were like, what if Indiana beats him in the first round? Well, what if the Bucks are up 3-1 and then Indiana beats him? Like, Doc would have to win a championship for us not to think of Doc as Doc, right? Like, ultimately. Yeah. So,
I mean, if the problem with him is if they lose any game seven, everyone just points to his record in game sevens now.
Yeah.
So you can't even if they lose in seven to the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals, I think we'd all be like, well, that's about where their potential was. They achieved what they could. But everyone instead will say, Doc can't coach in game sevens. You got to get him out of there. Like, and he's got a 4-year contract. They could be paying four head coaches next year if they let go of Doc Rivers in the offseason.
Mike, you know what I'm going to say when they lose in like a game seven? If you said to the Celtics, I'd be like, I wonder what they could have done with Adrian Griffin as their head coach. Probably one of them gotten to the championship. You have a couple. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm going to be saying thank God that the Celtics swept the first two rounds, so I still cash my dinner bet with Gil.
I got to retweet that out today. Thank you for reminding me. The thought exercise was this. We did this a couple weeks ago.
I think we did it last week.
Well, we talked with Mike about it last week, but I think I put it out a couple weeks ago, which is Celtics over under total number of losses Eastern Conference playoffs. So right now, their first round opponent is what either is going to be, you know, one of the play-in teams, obviously, right?
Could be Miami,
most likely. Could be Philly, we'll see. But also, their second round is laid out as Cleveland, Orlando, if they get there, right? So that looks good. So the thought exercise was 5.5 losses Eastern Conference playoffs. And everything we've gotten is an under on that. Everybody's gone under. And Mike and I have a dinner bet on it. I didn't even bet against him. I just set the line. He hated my line so much, he bet against my line.
I thought your line got a little bit of hate. I think I first went over and then I switched to under. So I think that means it was a pretty good line, actually. Yeah. It's going to be great, though, when the under hits and they lose the Sixers in the first round.
That's right. They're going to lose four games and everybody's going to cash it. There are series that are established already. Obviously, the play-ins need to be played. But two in the East, two in the West. Where are your bets so far?
The favorite bet I have, and I knew I was going to bet this a while ago, I like this Dallas Mavericks team. I think they figured something out. I like what they did at the trade deadline to add a second setter, add some size in there. And I love the shots that they can get at the end of shot clock, end of game. You've got Luka, who I think is playing phenomenally off the ball when you do have Kyrie Irving take over in certain situations. And it's really hard to defend both of these guys at the end of games and clutch time, at the end of shot clocks. And then I look over the other side and I see the Clippers. And I don't know what I'm going to get from the Clippers at any point in any game. This is a situation where I think the Mavs should be a heavy favorite in this series. Right now, they're just minus 110. And by heavy, I'm talking like minus 140, minus 150, somewhere in that range. So I've got a decent price here on the Mavs. I also took a little Mavs in six. That's plus 360 as well. But the biggest bet for me, Mavs minus 110 to win the series against the Clippers.
Okay. And you like that better than you like your bet in the other series, which is the Orlando Magic.
I do like it better than the Magic one because I have some concerns around this Magic team. Look, defensively, wildly efficient, and that's really what their calling card has been. But unlike Dallas, they do struggle in the clutch to get very good shots offensively, and we'll see how they're able to do that against the Cleveland defense. It does have some size on the inside and can alter shots there. The big question for me here is Donovan Mitchell, and I don't think that he is fully healthy. We've seen him miss, I believe it's 15 of the last 21 games, and if you look at the Magic in the Cavs, when Mitchell went for 30 or more, the Cavs won both the games against the Magic. When he went for 22 and they didn't play, they lost both games against the Magic. And to me, that's going to be the key of this series is what can Mitchell do? Is Suggs going to be able to shut him down? And Suggs is one of the five best perimeter defenders in the NBA at this point. He is going to cause some trouble for Mitchell, especially if that knee is not 100%. And if that's the case, if we don't get every game with Donovan Mitchell, if we don't get 100% of Donovan Mitchell in these games, I think that the Magic are more likely to come out of this series. Right now, you're getting plus 165. I have offensive concerns with the Magic. It's why I don't like this one more than the Mavs. But I do think the Magic move on in this spot.
All right. We have a one of the other series is the Suns-Timberwolves series, the 6-3 series out west, where the Suns are a tick of a favorite right now at DraftKings. You said you lean that way. You just haven't made the bet yet.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to the window on the Suns, and it's interesting because I mentioned the previous matchups with the Magic and with the Cavs. Those were a little while back. They weren't recent games. We've got recent memories here of this Suns team being able to take care of Minnesota. They played twice in April, but the Suns won both of those games, and Edwards struggled mightily there yesterday in the final game of the season. And Beal has actually played really well the last five or six games, and I don't know if I trust that Beal can keep this going, but what we wanted to see from this Suns team, we actually kind of saw down the stretch here. And so it feels like the Suns are playing better than what we're seeing from the Timberwolves right now. And it feels like the Suns kind of own them from a matchup perspective. We'll see what happens when we get into the first round here. But I lean toward the Suns here, minus 115, just haven't gotten to the window on it.
What potential series out of the play-ins, and maybe I should ask you about the play-ins themselves, if you have any thoughts on any of those games, East or West, but beyond that, what potential series would fascinate you the most? Would it be a Warriors Thunder 8-1? Would it be a Sixers Knicks 7-2 in the East? What would it be for you?
It's a lot about where New Orleans ends up here. If New Orleans ends up in the 8, which I wouldn't be shocked, I think that first matchup in the play-in against the Lakers is a tough one for New Orleans, especially with Ingram coming back and having to reintegrate him into the offense. If we end up with an OKC as the one seed and we see New Orleans as the 8, I think that would be a fascinating series. Two teams that have a ton of talent. Valachunas would be a very tough matchup round one for Oklahoma City because of that size on the inside for New Orleans as well. So I think that would be a very interesting one. And then the 2-7 on the East, no matter if it's going to be Philadelphia or Miami, is going to be really interesting with a Knicks team that a little banged up. So we haven't seen Randall come back yet, but OG's back. He's been playing well. I think that 2-7 series in the East is going to be very interesting too.
Any play in play? Either West tomorrow or East on Wednesday?
I lean toward the Lakers taking on New Orleans here. They're catching one in that game. I have not gotten to the window on that one. I also think Philly is going to stop Miami. I like Philly laying the points.
All right. Massive NFL draft talk begins for us tomorrow. We will have multiple bets. Each Kelly and I will tomorrow. You have any bets in pocket that you love more than others?
I took Caleb Williams minus 500 first overall. Pretty happy where that's gone. I think that one's pretty safe. I bet Malik Nabers to be the second wide receiver minus 265 over the weekend. I don't understand where this is going with him going above Harrison or below Adunze. I think he's slotted into that second spot, and it's the cheapest price of those wide receiver markets.
Okay. Full NFL draft tomorrow. cannot wait. And, of course, more NBA talk. Mike Somich, everybody, at Mike Somich 18. Or, excuse me, at Somobomb 18. Pardon me, at Somobomb 18 on Twitter. Co-host of The Handle with Matt Brown. Weekends at noon Eastern right here at the network. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it, man.
You got it, guys. Have a good week.
We've done all we can do. Go join Golicker next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.